So, Chanukah Sameach indeed to all. And today's daf in Masechet Nedarim, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Samar Beit. So, okay, it's a little bit bad. Yesterday I couldn't resist, and we went on a little bit too far again. But what can you do? It's so much fun hearing about Rabbi Tarfon, especially on Chanukah, since Rabbi Tarfon is the one who insists that we've got to use this near Hanukkah. We've got to use Shem and Zayit, and Rabbi Tarfon, remember, he was the one that brought Shem and Zayit to the world, because that's Torah Fafia, which was a merubis to Rabbi Tarfon. Okay, so therefore we wanted to hear the whole story of Rabbi Tarfon on Hanukkah. And
he has beautiful olive trees right above his kever. I actually made olive oil from them once.
Oh, there you go. Wonderful. Wow. Okay, this beats Barnea, I'm telling you. This is amazing. We're going to have to record this for posterity and send it to him. Okay, thank you, Mordechai. But, as I say, so we went ahead a little bit, and the last thing that we learned was about the story of the guy who put Rabbi Tarfon into a garbage bag. Oh, Barnea, you just missed it, man. You were outdone. So, he put Rabbi Tarfon into a garbage bag and was about to dump him into the Harlem River, and Rabbi Tarfon said, "Oy le Tarfon, she said, Horga," and then the rest of his life, he never got over the fact that he got out of this pickle by making use of his terence. The Gemara asked yesterday, we're just reviewing it, so not to assume anything. So the Gemara asks, but what exactly, since it was the time anyway, the Huchbulu, the Rovam, so what was the problem? He actually was allowed to go in there. Why was the guy so upset? It's a little bit overreacting, don't you think? Dumping him in the Harlem River? I mean, come on, if we're talking about fields of cocaine, it's one thing. I mean, you're talking about a couple of figgies, you know? So the Gemara says, we're talking over here about the guy that has been robbed all year round, and he thought that when he caught Rabbi Tarfon, he caught the people that have been stealing all year, just stealing his figs. So that really, I mean, these guys have to be gotten rid of. So he was really serious. So then the Gemara asks, but if that's the case, then Rabbi Tarfon actually has a right to save himself. Because as we're going to see, it's only taking advantage of the Torah in cases that were actually not meant for you. And I'll talk about that in a moment as the Ron expands on it. The Gemara answers that Rabbi Tarfon felt that since he is so rich, that, you know, what's a couple hundred thousand over here, you know, so the guy, you can always offer the guy to pay him back for the entire year's crop if necessary. And the guy's not going to kill him if he can get his money back, obviously. It's worth it for him to let him go. So that's what he should have done. So then this is where the Ron takes advantage of the pause over here in the discussion, is the Gemara is basically saying, as we're going to see more of later, that a Talmud Chacham, there are certain things that are not called taking advantage of a Talmud Chacham. Would you say, says the Ron, that a Kohen that's coming to collect his Truma, a Levi's coming to take his Meiser, is taking advantage of his status? No. As I'm going to take advantage, that's what the status grants. So there are certain things, I mean, that's what's coming to him from that status. There are certain things that are coming to a Talmud Chacham because of his status. So, for instance, the rights to go to the top of the line, and the fact that the Beis Din should deal with his case before other cases, and that he has a right to first choice on things that people are splitting, and stuff like that. That's all just part of the dinyan of the kovet that's given to Torah and insisting on them. That's not called taking advantage in any way. That's called letting it be known that you are a Kohen and therefore you can take Truma, letting it be known that you are a Talmud Chacham and therefore you have these rights that are being given to you. So basically, I mean, Rabbi Tarfon needed to make a determination about whether this would be, since it's not a standard thing that's given to Talmidei Chachamim, to be able to crawl out of plastic bags on their way to being dumped into the Harlem River. So the question, therefore, needed to be determined on a case-by-case basis. And therefore, Rabbi Tarfon felt that in terms of his particular circumstances, this is not one of the things that he should have utilized the Kavodat Torah for, because he was Baruch Hashem, he was very rich, and he could easily have gotten out of the problem. And therefore, it wasn't innately something that was given to him. And that's why he was mitzayer. That's how the Gemara understands it, and that is the psak of the Ram, Gabi this halacha. In general, now we're going to see more about this. Tanya. So this means that the reason that you're learning is for Ava. Shelo yomar Adam. Well, you know, I'll become a bookie in Tanakh, because that way people will call me Hachacham. Nice to be known as Hachacham. Otherwise, they'll just call me Mister. Or maybe they won't even call me Mister. All right, so this is great. Or maybe I'll even go learn Mishnah. That way, maybe they'll call me Rabbi. I guess most of the rabbis in those times get away with murder if they knew the Mishnah Berurah. And maybe I'll even go and I'll learn Gemara and I'll be able to say a Svara and so on, a Shanein. That way, I'll be a Zokein, Beishev, Beyeshiva. Who knows? They might make me a Gadol Hador with a ribbon and everything on my lapel. And that'd be great. No, you can't do any of that. It's Le'avad Hashem Elokecha. Obviously, the inyanim of kovod, and this is, works very well according to the Ran, the inyanim of kovod are the essence of what's given to the Talmud Chacham, and that has to be there, that issue of kovod atayra. But you cannot have kavana for that, because the kavana for that makes it as if you're taking it for yourself from the very beginning. That's the point in the Gemara. So the Sof HaKavod Lavo is indeed very important for our sugya. And where do we see this? Because Shenema, Koshreim al Etzbaotecha, Kotvein al Luach Libecha. So first of all, if you've got them on, we say in English, the idiom, on your fingertips, right? So on your fingertips means that this is something that is instantly accessible. That's why you can use your finger movements on the new Apple Watch, so that the moving your fingers gets the watch to do what you want. Okay, so too, Divrei Torah should be on your fingertips. But on your fingertips often means that you just have access that's exteriorized. These have to be kotvei maluach libecha. They need to be on your heart. So that means they need to be coming out of love. It's not enough that just you should know them. The Omer, to Achel Darchei Noam, Yomer Yitzchayim Yil Marzikim, Vavetom Chayam Ushar. So this means that once you have that, this is the Raya, as the Ram points out, we need to bring Raya also to Sof HaKavod Lavo. So here what it's saying is that since the Drochim of Terah are Darchei Noam, so people will be Mechabed that Terah, and people will be Temech on that Terah. So those who are Marzik the Terah, Tom Chayah, those who support it, will be Meushar. Basically, the rule is, if you're going to be doing mitzvahs, asei dvarim l'shem pa'olam. The asiyah of the mitzvahs, this is one of the most famous rushes in all of Shas. It's probably the most famous rush. And it was very much popularized by the Sefer Nefesh HaChaim. Because, remember, the Sefer Nefesh HaChaim was essentially written by the chief Talmud HaGra, and in its most part, it is a strong description of the approach to Torah that is antithetical to Hasidus. So because of that, it very much focuses on the idea of Torah Lishma not being the equivalent of some kind of emotional Hasidisha idea of doing things mitoch ahava, meaning of love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. No, that's the way the Rambam paskins the Din of Torah Lishma. But the Rosh says, no, that's the whole point. If you're coming to do mitzvahs, then I say to Varim L'Shem Po'olam. Over there, the focus has to be HaKadosh Baruch Hu told you to do the mitzvahs. But you can't learn something for someone else. That's the point. The learning has to be a love affair with Torah. Not a love affair with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore to make him happy, you'll learn the Torah. That's not the point. Now, the truth is, of course, that the Rambam adds the word v'tziva ba, so it's completely different, but now is not the point to discuss that. But anyway, so the Lashon, the famous Lashon of the Rosh that the Nefesh HaChaim made so famous, is that the asei dvarim l'shem pa'alam, that's l'shmo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that everything was made for his covet. But daber b'hem lishman, what does that mean? Kol diburcha u'masa'acha b'divrei Torah, yeh l'shem ha-Torah. That's the difference. The shem po'alam and lishman are obviously two completely different things. So the lishman is for their own sakes. So this is a love affair with the Torah itself. Meaning, kigon, leida, lahavin, losif, lekach, pilpo, you want more and more, not for some type of ulterior motivation, lekanter, lehitga'ot, to show that you're better than others, or to be able to fight it out and one-upmanship, but rather the whole focus has to be for your love of the Torah. And that way, you're dealing with the Torah Lishma. So this becomes the main focus, really, of that Chelek of the Sefer that deals with the idea of Torah Lishma. It's a fascinating fascinating sidelight, I have to tell you, is that during the Second World War, so the U.S. was still granting a clergy deferral, right, which was the 4D, four divinity deferrals. So my father's atzal, when he went to, they had this va'adas, you had to appear before people that would give you the 4D referral. But in their minds, the 4D was somebody who was studying to be divinity. So he was going to be a Klei Kodesh, basically. Klei Kodesh, you know, he's going to be serving the Tzibur. So he's a clergyman. But a yeshiva bocher who's sitting and learning Torah Lishma, what does that have to do with being a clergyman? So they, Dafka, used the rush. They knew all the kunsim, right? So they asked him, so are you learning Torah Lishma? Right? So he says, yes. So they said, oh, so then you don't get a deferral? Because Torah Lishma is your own love affair with the Torah. We're not, that's your business. I mean, we don't go into other people's intimate lives, you know. You want to make love to the Torah? That's fine. That doesn't grant you a clergyman. So he explained to them that the essence of Torah is the Lilmay, the Lilamid, that's a chelek of what it means to be Lilmay Torah Lishma, is that the Torah itself should be Mufursim and should be Yaduah and so on. That is what it means to be in love with Torah. It's not personal. Adarabha, it's the most universal thing you can get. They gave him the 4D deferral. It's very interesting. I don't know how many other people benefited from that little conversation, but the mindset was a fascinating, fascinating thing. Right. The funny thing is that in the end, he actually did become a clergyman. In that the yeshivas needed to provide, in order to show that they were being mishamish the tzibur. So in order to be able to give a 4D, they had to show that they were really supplying clergymen. So where could you get to be clergyman? This is a pella. So they had to send people, whatever, to work in certain locations, particularly in the army, because they needed chaplains in the army, right? So my father, Zatzal, took on becoming a chaplain in the Navy. This was an amazing thing. So it was once a week. I used to go with him as a kid. It was once a week he would go down to a big naval base. It was the Patuxent Naval Base, which was by the opening of the Chesapeake Bay. So it was a couple hours away. And our house was filled with all kinds of stuff from the army, because in those days they were printing up thousands of sidurim to give out to the European refugees, and thousands of chumashim. And our house was full of all of this stuff. And he ended up, fascinatingly, giving the bracha to the first flight over the North Pole, which took off from there, from the Tepexan Naval Base. So it's fascinating. Yes, indeed. Anyway, things were fun. I got my own 4D deferral right here on Rehov Gershon Agron in the old days when the American Embassy used to be in that little house. So, sure enough, I went in there, and when I was 18, I had to go in there right across the street from the park and get my own 4D. Very sweet. All right, anyway, just that was a little exercise in Barnea's neighborhood. I mean, after all, we started with Mordechai out doing Barnea, so I figured, what the heck?
Hanukkah. North Pole is in my Rebbe's neighborhood. That's amazing.
So there we go. Okay. Anyway, getting back to this Indian, which is very nagiya. See, here is where the Rosh bases it on, because it's obviously so different to say L'shem Po'olam versus his Lishman. I mean, it's very, very striking, right? Okay. So to continue. So we got up to Rebbe Eliezer bar Rebbe Tzadok. We were in the middle of Daber Bahem Lishman. Alta Asim Atara Lihit Gadel Bahem. So don't make them, this is what Rebbe Tarfu was so worried about, don't turn them into a personal crown to make yourself great. Don't make them a shovel that you can dig with. We use that in English as well, you know, digging, like digging for the riches. Or digging, that's when we talk about these women who are diggers. So anyway, this is, takes us back to the Kavah Chomer that we had earlier. Kavah Chomer. Uma bel shatzar shela nishtameh shela b'klei kodesh shenasu klei chol. And nonetheless, it was ne'akar b'na'elon, and this became the basis of a very common Yiddish expression that when somebody works for the tzibur, he's called a klei kodesh, right? That's the point. So Baal Shatzar, he took the klei kodesh, and they had already become, because Portsu, as we learned before, pritzim v'chilulua. And nonetheless, he was ne'akar b'na'elon, somebody chatz v'chavila, who uses the kisra shel Torah for his own chashivas, Alachat kama v'kama, that in the end, he is ne'akar min ha'olam. And this, of course, as you know, became very, very big issues, whether it's right to have kailalim, or whether that's called bishtamish, kisra shel Torah, and it's using it. This was, people would always quote the Rambam, that it's a terrible chilul Hashem, and you're not allowed to accept money. And this is the famous guess of Mishnah, the way the Shulchan Aruch paskins, that's only where you're able to be Mekayim, Torah, and Yisroel. But if the Klal needs to have people that are learning in order that we shouldn't be Nishtakach, Torah, and Yisroel, and people have to be otherwise engaged, there's no way that they're ever going to be able to become Talmid Chachamim, so then Daf gets a mitzvah. So, okay, then this became, of course, the Heter HaKlali, which I don't know how much it was meant as a Heter HaKlali, but it, the same thing as the idea of it's Buter to write up Divrei Torah, and that became a mitzvah to write up every piece of garbage that everybody finds and to print it up and to sell it. Okay, I'm not so sure that that's exactly what's included about Shalot Yishtakach Torah Yisroel, but that's the way it goes with these overall Heter. Omar Rava. And so here are examples, this is the Ron says, this is the halacha, of certain things that are meant to be the chelak of a Talmud Chacham, and therefore it's like a kohen. Who say I'm a kohen and I have to eat truma? So shardly lidish ludui nafshiba atar de lo yadiyale. In a place where people have no idea that he's a Talmud Chacham, so then if you are supposed to be zeicher to something, whether it's in terms of taxes or whether it's in terms of getting the first portion or whatever it is, you're allowed to say that you're a Talmud Chacham. Where do we see that? Because incredibly, Ovadia said to Eliyahu, how could he say such a thing? That I have been a big Yorei Shamayim. Who says about himself that he's a big Yorei Shamayim? So you see that since he was Cheshish, that Elio didn't know him. Can you imagine going into a Rebbe today and needing to tell the Rebbe who you are? I mean, isn't that part of like Ruach HaKodesh of the Rebbe? It's like all these Mishnayos, Reb Chanina ben Deisa. You know, what, are you a Navi? What do you mean, am I a Navi? Man, I'm the Rebbe. What, are you crazy? Of course I'll tell you who will live and who will die. Right? It's like unbelievable. No, lo Navi, ben Navi, okay, so you see that Ovadia tells Elio, listen, I'm not just a shmo. I know what you're going to do. You're going to fly away, and I'm going to be the one to take the outcome of this, you know, like you go around killing people with your fire and so on. I'm not one of those guys. Help. Anyway, so you see that you're allowed to. Wait a minute. So then again, so why? So Rebbe Tarfon had a right, if that's the case, right? Because, I mean, if you're allowed to do it for this, kosher can, you're allowed to do it for for saving your life. So, or forget about your life, even financial destruction. So why did Rabbi Tarfon feel it was a big problem? Again, because this is a specific idiosyncratic situation. And since Rabbi Tarfon was an Asher Gadol, V'havi Leila Faisei D'damim, as we said before. Rava Rami. So Rava points out, isn't this a contradiction? Ovadia saying Avdechoy Yoreet Hashem Minu Rai. And the Pasuk says Beferish, Yahalel Chazar V'lo Picha, one of the most famous Pesukim in Mishlei. Let other people say how great you are, but don't say how great you are yourself. Over here, Ovadia is saying that I am a big Yoreet Shamayim. Therefore, you have to say, if people know who you are, don't say anything about your madriga. That's showing off. But where it's just nogea, that people should know where you belong. For instance, you would be allowed to say, I am a Talmud Chacham, and because of that, I have to get back to Seder, and you need, as a Beis Din, to take my case first, even though normally, as we saw, normally a Beis Din takes cases in the order in which they're presented. But over here, for a Talmud Chacham, we take his case first. Dechtivu v'nei David Kohanim ayu. What is that supposed to mean? Obviously, they weren't Kohanim, they were from Shevet Yehuda. But the point is that they have dinim, all Talmidei Chachamim, have a din of Kohen, b'nogea, those things that are given to a Talmud Chacham. Ma Kohen no tel mirosh, av Talmid Chacham no tel mirosh. And this is, of course, this is the Siva of the Ran, explaining the entire thing in terms of the equivalency of the kahuna. That's not called taking advantage. And how do we know, by the way, that a Kohen always gets first? Now, this piece is actually meant to be censored from Barnea, so if he will just mute himself for a moment, that's, we got enough problems as is, you know. So the Pasuk says, it says, V'kidashto, ki et lechem elohecha hu makriv, so you should be mekadesh the coin. How do you do that? So turn into very Rabbi Shmuel, what this means, V'kidashto, v'chol davar shebikdusha. V'kidashto means set him aside. Make him unique in everything that is, does not mean even on the surface. It seems to be saying, only in those in Yonim that are Nogea Kedusha. So, for instance, getting the first Aliyah or being the one to take Birkat Hamazon, that's not what it means. Because, as we're going to see, that's not going to cover all of the issues. The Chol Davar Shebikdusha, as the Rosh explains, means to anything that would bring out his Madrega of Kedusha. That's what it means. So, Liftoach Rishon, he should be the first one for an Aliyah. Levarach Rishon for Birkas Hamazon. And Lito Mone Yafa Rishon, that he gets the choice, if you've got different pieces, let him choose first what he wants. Now, that obviously is not a Dovash al Kedusha, because it's talking about not about the Karbonas, because that's a Dovah Posh. It's talking about Bechlau, where you're splitting things. Omar Rava. Shari lei letzurbim rabbanu lemeimar, a Talmud Chacham is allowed to say, I am not going to pay this tax. Lo yavinan karga, because look, it says beferish in the Pasuk in Ezra that Koresh said that Talmidei Chachamim that are coming along over here for the Aliyah are not to be disturbed by government requests, local government requests addressed to the Pachim in Yehuda, and the Goyim are not to be bothered for taxes. And he writes Beferish in that letter. And that is that the different types of taxes, the minda, the below, the halach, lo shalit lemirma aleum, the government, local government, is not given any rights to put on these people. The Omer of Yehuda, minda refers to Menat HaMelech, the below refers to Kesef Golgota, the halach refers to Arnona. So these are different types of taxes. We know that in modern Hebrew we use these words as well for various types of taxes. Doesn't mean that necessarily the way it's used today is what it meant at the time, but since there's my focus and, you know, when we're talking about head taxes, property taxes, shutafut with the melech taxes in your flocks and things like that, we won't go into the details. But the point is that you have a right as a Talmud Chacham, granted all the way to the time of Ezra, to say that you're not going to be giving these taxes. So Memela, that's not obviously, if the Torah is giving this in Ezra Tutamir Chachomim, it's clearly not called taking advantage. The Amar Rabba, surely let Surbim and Rabban Olamim, forget, you want to get out of taxes? Well, the government ain't going to let you get out of taxes because you say you're a Talmud Chacham, you know. Certainly not the Greeks. So what are you going to say to them? Well, what if you live with the Zoroastrians, you know? So you could say, I am a servant of the great fire, meaning, Hashem Elokecha Eish Ochlau. You know, oh, so they figure, oh, so he probably is one of the servants of the Zoroastrian church or priest, so they let him off because it didn't was you let off the clergy and the people that were working for them, you let them off from taxes. So you could say that. I mean, if they want to think that it means, you know, you work for the great fire in the temple, that's their problem. So my time, huh? He's saying, Voyavina Karga, I'm not going to be paying for the taxes. Usually the Karga is a head tax. My time, huh? Because he's just doing a Mavriachari. So Lavruchi Ariemi Nekam. I mean, everybody knows that. I was going to think that he's really saying that he worships Avodah Zorah. Rav Ashi owned an Abba is a forest, and Zabne Levei Nura, and he sold it to the Zoroastrian church that was in the area. And they were Oivdei Nura. Rav Ashi, how are you allowed to do that? Goy is also an Avodah Zorah. You're providing them with all of this fuel for their temple. And isn't that like Lifnei Iver, Lotitein Michshol? Okay, it's a big question, because Lifnei Iver is really only on Treyavri Denara. Obviously, they can get it without you. But the point is that it's certainly a type of Lifnei Iver. It's a Misayei Alidei Oiver Avera, some learn. But in any event, it's certainly not very nice. So Rav Ashi said to him, it's not true, because people, 99% of wood that people buy, even if they happen to be members of the church, they're not buying it for bringing as a sacrifice to the church. They're buying it to heat their homes, for heaven's sakes, or to cook an egg in the morning. So I got to worry about the nuts that are going to use it for the avda, the eish. So therefore, I don't see anything wrong with it. Okay, this brings us up to the Halakha Kapitan, Mishnah, which are Kapitan, the Rebbe himself, the Halakha Talisker Rebbe. So, we said before that when it comes to things that don't have a clear-cut time, length of time, so then even if you said Achia Hey, it certainly doesn't mean until it's over, because you don't know when it's over. And the principle of a person is not machlis himself to a suffix, l'mayel inche nafshi l'sveika, everybody is made to. That we saw yesterday. It's just that the question is whether it would also apply to ambiguous language. But to be machlis yourself into a period, which you have no idea when that's going to be, that even the Tanakhama agreed to that, that you wouldn't do something like that. And so, so the Machlokas of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi was not Nogea, no matter how you flipped it or didn't flip it, that's not Nogea, the time that isn't clear. But how about beginning times? Now, this is a different issue. Because a beginning time, do you mean where the event occurs? Because I understand if you're talking about the length of a time, you won't be Machlokas Hatzbrah L'Sofek. But if you don't know precisely when the time is going to be, so let's say, until the rains. I mean, I don't know, you don't really know when the rains are going to begin. So do we take that to mean the determined time of the rain, like when would you say Tein Talumotar? Is that the point? Or is it the actual rains? Here we have also the same type of issues being raised over here. Somebody says, Ad HaKatsir. So first of all, I mean, that could mean anything, you know. Katsir of what? So the first thing is that Katsir generally will refer to the Katsir Chitim, and it means the actual beginning, but not the Ktsir Sorim, which comes before. That is not what you had in mind, because that's not the normal way to refer to the Ktsir. But of course, as we've said so many times, everything is defined by its local context. So, Hakol Afim Bakom Nidro. Obviously, there are places where they would call the Zorim, if that was the main thing that was being eaten, then that would be the main katsir. Furthermore, it would have to do with the topography, right? I mean, let's say you made this neder when you are in a mountainous area, where over there it's colder, and therefore it will take another week or two beyond, let's say you live in Gavi's area, as opposed to living down in Tveria, you know, so it could be a two-week difference between the katsir over there. So if he was Bahar, so then the neder goes according to when the katsir is Bahar. If he was in the Bika, so then it goes according to the time in the Bika. Let's say a guy says Ad HaGishamim, so, or he even says Ad Shiyuhu HaGishamim. So what does that mean? Like first rain or what? It means the Reviyah Shniya, which we've seen in Ta'anit, that the season begins, we have three first Reviyah, and we use the Lashon of Reviyah. Remember that Gemara pointed out that the rain actually penetrates the earth in a way that is the way in which sexually you penetrate. This has to do, remember, with the idea of the marble, the Gishamim on the marble, being connected Mashli Zare. The same thing is true over here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu fertilizes the earth with the Revia. So the idea over here would be the Revia Shnia. Actually, the Ran sort of sterilizes the language into Revitza, but all right, we'll take the Gemara. So Reb Shimon ben Gamliel says no, because basically the beginning, this is how the Ran understands it, the beginning of something would mean that you're being machlis yourself into a suffix, because you have no idea when that will be. So how could you answer yourself to an event that's completely out of control? It could happen at any time. Sometimes the rains are delayed. So why would you say that? Therefore, since the rains do have a definition, again, Sagaran explains it, which is pretty obvious, that since the rains do have a definition, la halacha, in terms of when it is you're going to be master, Gishamim and Tefillah, and so on, so therefore, since they're well-defined, as we'll see tomorrow, it means the Zman of the Revia. It doesn't mean the actual rain. If he says, until after the rains, Achi Pasku Gishamim, so Rabbi Meir says that means the entire Nisan. The entire Nisan is entire. This is, remember, is a sheet of Rabbi Meir that you're maskir gishamim even after Pesach. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda says, no, not Nisan, just until Achiyavor Pesach. Tana. Hanoder ad hakayetz begalil. So let's say somebody lives up next to Gavi, and then he goes down to Tveria, and he's Yard Makim. So the truth is, since he made the neder up in the Galil, so even though it already started, the figs already started to ripen down in the valley, but since he made it dependent in the har where he lived, he has to wait until the Galil. That no, it's only Zmana Reviyah. Omer Rabbi Zera, this machlokas is the Omer Ad HaGishamim. But if he said Ad HaGesh, everybody agrees that Ad Zman Gishamim, even the Tanakama agrees that it doesn't mean until the actual rains, it means until the coming of the rains. So now the way the Ran understands this machlokas here, why would it be dependent in Geshem or Gishamim? So he says, look, Mi'ikar HaDin, we said that Ein Ad HaMachlis Atzma L'Sofet. And therefore, you would, the Pashtas say that, of course, he's not talking about an event that's out of anybody's control or ability to forecast, and he's talking about a time. But if that were the case, so Tanakama holds, if that were the case, he would have said Ad HaGeshem, which means very well, until the rainy season, as we call it Geshem. But if you're using an extra language of Geshamim, so the Tanakama owns, he seems to be adding something. So what is he trying to say? He's trying to say, I'm willing to be Machlis Atzmi L'Sofet. So that's what they hold. Shein Kein. Said it's not the way to understand the word, and the difference between Gishamim and Geshem is not that clear in people's minds that it has to signify a adding something. And therefore, even in that case, we should say that it is defined by the time.